Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing this evening?
Good. I'm getting all Christmassy.
Yeah, it's good to be back here with you before Christmas.
Yeah, here we are, just 3 days.
Not a creature was stirring.
Actually, 2 days to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went all through the house. No, yeah. That's a different story.
Santa's coming. Oh, no, wait a minute. This is not a show about
Santa.
Not a Santa.
Creature was stirring. No.
Yeah, I have my little grandson's watching this cartoon about these Christmas mice, and they're, you know, doing all this little stuff, yeah. And he's, like, intently watching. And I said, I think they used to live in my basement, and now they made the big time.
Yeah.
I think my cat killed them. So anyway, here we are. Wow, it's a long... Well, actually, we're still in the Advent season.
Mm-hmm.
But
we are.
I like Advent a lot because, you know, from the ancient times of the church, you know, it's kind of focused you to the coming of the Messiah. And, of course, we're living also in the second Advent because we're waiting for him to come back.
That's true.
And like I always say, I hope it's tonight. But
true.
You know, if it comes tonight, then we don't have to worry about doing all the Christmas stuff.
I know. You won't have to put up the tree. You won't have to get all the fixes.
Yeah, you don't have to wrap the presents.
You can get out of doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we can just be dancing around on streets made out of gold. Yeah. And
exactly.
A cool big house made out of precious stones and hang out with St. Paul at Starbucks and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Of course, I got some people going to be looking for me, like Peter and Mark, but I think they'll like me after a while.
Yep.
So last week we talked about the passage from Isaiah about the virgin will be with child, will conceive and bear a son and call him Emmanuel. And we talked about God living with us in our time and our circumstances. And this is what we're getting ready to celebrate. And I always thought it was amazing, even before I was a believer, I thought it was pretty amazing that Jesus is born in this sort of, well, squalor, whether it was a stable or a cave or one thing for sure. It wasn't like a really nice place.
Right.
And for the Son of God to be born in humanity and have the birth take place in a stable where there's smelly animals and there's hay on the ground, on the floor, and put him in a manger, and it's kind of hard to believe.
It is.
How he comes into time, and just like later on, when he lives in simplicity and starts his earthly ministry, he doesn't go to the temple and say, I'm the Messiah. I need 12 of your smartest guys who speak at least two or three languages, really know the scriptures. I mean, I want the smartest guys to come with me because I'm starting this new movement. No, he picks like these 12 guys that are uneducated, working people,
mm-hmm.
and they start the new movement. And it's nothing goes like you think it's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's more than a movement. I mean, it's the redemption of all of God's creation.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, a movement is, if you think about a movement is, you can move a piece of furniture from the living room to the kitchen. You can, you know, there's movements that have happened over time with certain people. Jesus comes to restore all of God's creation back to the Father.
Yes. And this is what we got to get back into this Christmas season. Because this has been lost now. Because people who, a lot of people won't even tolerate a nativity scene. But if you have one in your house, the whole thing is centered around, oh, here's the cute little baby in the manger and everything's nice and clean. And there's Mary and Joseph always looking very prayerful. And there's all these shepherds and, you know, everybody else looking very prayerful. And people may say, oh, that's cute. I like your nativity scene, and it's cute baby Jesus you have there. Even if he's got curly blonde hair and big blue eyes, it's a cute little baby you have there. But nobody wants to hear what he has to say when he's a man, and nobody wants to think about why he came, as you're pointing out.
Yeah.
And this is what we got to get back into Christmas, because the joy of the thing is not, oh, good, there's this baby born. The joy of the thing is now salvation. The whole plan of salvation has pointed to these next 33 years, and this is the good news of the gospel, that he comes to redeem mankind.
Yeah, yeah, you know, recently in the public forum, there's been some people that have, in the past, have blasted religion.
Mm-hmm.
But then recently they've embraced their religion to tell us how prayerful they are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was just,
so, yeah. You know, it's amazing how those things work out.
I was just
out.
Watching a replay of that.
Yeah. But, you know, God can do amazing things. So you always got to pray for the salvation of a person and for the hardness of their heart to be softened so that the word of God can fall upon that heart. Mm-hmm. And then God can fertilize it with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And they can become a believer, a true believer.
Yes.
Not a false pretense or whatever they want to call it. But anyway, you know, the season of Advent is so rich in bringing us to the place of examining our own hearts and our own motives and the things in our lives that do they bring us closer to our relationship with Jesus Christ? Or do they separate us from our relationship with Jesus Christ? And am I really prepared for his second coming?
Mm.
That's one of the main questions that everyone should ask themselves during the season of Advent. Because we're not just celebrating the birth of Jesus, the birth of Messiah 2,000 years ago. We're also anticipating his return, where he's gonna stand and judge the nations. And he's going to tell us, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you.
Yes.
That's the reality of it. And as you said, people don't want to hear that. I was talking to somebody the other, you know, a couple weeks ago. I was telling them about the spiritual battle that we find our whole existence in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not just our country, but our world is in this great spiritual battle. And the church has ill-prepared the sheep of the flock to be prepared for this, because in reality, nobody wants to hear about spiritual warfare.
That's right.
Nobody wants to hear about, because people get scared. And, you know, somewhat maybe rightfully so.
We want everybody to feel good.
We want everybody to feel good. And if you don't prepare people or you don't teach people about the realities of what does it mean to be a disciple?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus said it very clearly. Pick up your cross, deny your very self, pick up your cross and follow me. You're not going to get into heaven by giving some tithe money and planting a seed and then getting your BMW.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know,
yes.
That it doesn't, Christianity is not about that. It's about a battle that's taking place between believers and non-believers about God restoring all of his creation back to himself through Jesus Christ. And in the midst of that, we have a role, because where we spend the rest of eternity depends on how we follow God's call or God's plan in our lives. Have we fellowshiped with him?
Mm-hmm.
Have we received him as our Lord and Savior?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a relationship with him? Or have we just gone off on our own accord and just done whatever we want? And then, as the former mayor of New York City said, I deserve what I've done. I deserve to be in heaven. I'm just going to walk right past God. I deserve to be there.
Yeah, that's right.
That might happen.
That's, but unlikely.
But chances are it's not going to happen.
Unless he's kept all 613 laws perfectly,
yeah.
Which he probably has.
But that's a very skewed, very distorted perception of eternal life with God.
It's presumption, which is a serious offense to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
When you presume something.
Yeah.
Or that's the proverbial walking on thin ice, and you don't know when it's going to break and you're going to fall in.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, that's how people look at it nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when Paul writes, as you're saying that, I was thinking, I don't remember the exact reference, but Paul writes, You know, God is reconciling the world to himself through Jesus. It doesn't say he's reconciling the world to him through whatever way you might think is the way to do it, or whatever way makes you feel the most comfortable.
Right.
Or whatever seems to make the most sense to you. Or to, you know, however you want to do it, because after all, he can reconcile the world by however you think.
Yeah.
I mean, this is preposterous what's happening now. And there are churches that are doing
yes.
this now. There are churches that are falling into the abyss. And this falling away, this remnant of people that's left, here we are with Messiah being born, commemorating the birth mm-hmm. of Messiah.
Right.
And please don't send emails about how he wasn't born December 25th. Whenever he was born, and this is when we're commemorating it. If he was born in October, that's awesome. If he was born in April, that's awesome. If he's born December 25th, that's awesome too. But what we're commemorating is the fact that now the plan of salvation is now in its final phase,
mm-hmm.
leading from that birth to the crucifixion and resurrection to reconcile the world through him. There's no other way to reconcile the world. It's not about Holly and Santa Claus and elves and all this yeah. nonsense. There's nothing wrong with Santa Claus if you have little kids. Please don't send me snotty emails. But you know what I mean. It's not, that is not what it's about. I mean, how many little kids growing up now even ever hear that Jesus is being born? That's why we have this holiday.
Yeah. Well, you know, back in 1981, there was a prophecy that was given that there is a great battle is about to unfold between
yes.
Jesus and Satan.
Yes.
And at the time, people kind of scoffed at it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people believed in it. But as you see the course of our culture and the course of humanity taking shape over these last close to 40 years,
mm-hmm.
there is a great battle that has taken place.
Mm-hmm.
And the salvation of souls are at stake. And there is so much evil and corruption in the world, more so than I even thought.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that God's creation is bad, because he created it as good, but it's tainted by sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that sin nature has really been amplified or brought out because pride has come to rule.
Yes.
People's pride. They, you know, pride is a deadly thing. Pride is pride is a deadly sin. Because if you can't get rid of pride, if you can't let go of pride and humble your heart, you're never going to be able to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Redeemer.
Amen.
And that you need a Savior.
Yes.
And that you sin.
And like we always say, this is the second half of Romans chapter 1. We're living in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you profess yourself to be wise and you become a fool, because your heart is so darkened and reprobate that God just gives you over to it.
Right.
So you say, oh, yes. I mean, you say that this is a boy, but if he wants to be a girl, there's nothing that says he can't be a girl if he wants to be a girl. I mean, this is how people think now.
Yeah.
And when when we're having the fact that, as you point out, we're in this second advent, and, mm-hmm. you know, Jesus may come tomorrow night, or he may come 2 weeks from today, or he may come 50 years from today. We don't know.
Right.
But when the sky rips open and you hear the shofar blast, and it says every eye is going to see him, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to say, oh, you mean you really do exist and you really were who you said you were? Oh, wait a minute. If I'd have known that, I wouldn't have done all that stuff.
I take it all back. I didn't mean it.
Yeah.
Either. Yeah.
And the tide has turned, and to see, you know, to see churches turn, to see leaders of churches talking nonsense and talking modernism is just too much. But here we are with Messiah physically coming, and back to, you know, even back in the Torah, of course, all these things are prefigured that God is going to dwell with us.
Mm-hmm.
His tabernacle's going to be with us. Zechariah, my favorite minor prophet, the verse we don't quote much, but Zechariah 2:10 says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord.
Yeah.
So this is fulfilled when Messiah is born. He literally comes to dwell in our midst.
Yeah.
Like the guy you know who lives down the street. Like at Nazareth when they said, hey, wait a minute, we know you. Right. We know your father and your mother. We've known you since you were a kid. What do you mean this is about you?
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, as you're saying that, that's what God has wanted from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. He wanted to have fellowship with them.
Yes. That's right.
And he's wanted to have fellowship with his creation since the very beginning. But his creatures have rebelled against him.
Yeah.
And in general, in context of our current state of affairs in our culture, I think that there's a tendency to want to go where, and there always is a tendency to want to go where the masses are, mm-hmm. the masses of people, those who, we all believe the same thing.
Yes.
And generally, that can be a movement of the Holy Spirit, that can be a movement of God. But historically in Scripture, it didn't always work that way. There was always a remnant of people.
Yes.
There was always a few people. You know,
who
swim against the current upstream, and then go before God and say, Lord, am I the only one? Pipe down. I got 7,000 others that are there. Don't worry, Isaiah. As we enter into the season of celebrating the birth of Jesus, which I think it's very important that we celebrate and recognize that God's Son was born on this earth. We can get into the divisive division of when he was born because nobody has a date.
Yeah.
But the fact is, God's kingdom is not hyphenated. Mm-hmm. And we find ourselves in a culture where we are a hyphenated culture. I'm a this American. I'm a that American.
Yes.
Put whatever nationality you want in front of it. Let's look at denominations.
Yeah.
I'm from this denomination.
That's
what
I was thinking. Yeah.
And it even goes into, I'm a Gentile believer. I'm a Jewish believer.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're a believer in Christ.
There's a Gentile church and a Jewish church.
Yeah.
No.
But that's where our culture has evolved to.
Yes.
And that's where man has it at. But if you look through Scripture, how many times does it say, in him,
mm-hmm.
in Christ we are this, in Christ we are that?
Mm-hmm.
Christ didn't come to establish or to have a divided kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that very good on our own.
Oh, yeah.
But he came that they may all be one as you and I, Father, are one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he came for.
Exactly.
He came to reconcile all of that.
Exactly. And like in Ephesians 2, 14:15, it says, in his flesh he breaks down the partition.
Yeah.
Making one new man.
Right.
And we've divided the one new man into like thousands of parts.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone off the rail where we're to the point now, and this isn't very Christmassy, but we're to the point now where, you know, if you're in church A, you say, oh, those people in church B are so screwed up. And those people in church C, they're even worse. They don't have anything right.
And church D, there's no hope for them.
I mean, why can't they all be like me? You know, I'm the one who's right. And,
yeah.
You know, after all, I started this church 2 years ago because I'm the only one who's right.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is how people think.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that way, and sometimes you probably think that way. You say, why can't people just think like I do?
Well, I mean, there's a natural tendency to do that, but in the course of one's faith formation or the relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to be able to go back to the roots of where everything came from, and that is from Christ himself.
Amen.
You can't reestablish something 2,000 years later and go, well, no, everything is wrong in the world and everything is wrong, so we're going to just establish everything right.
Mm-hmm.
You can try that,
mm-hmm.
but you can't nullify all that God has done throughout the course of 2,000 years of human history since Jesus ascended into heaven.
And this is why last week we talked about there's always prophecy. God always says ahead of time what he's going to do. He doesn't mm-hmm. have to do that.
Right.
But he does it. And it's for our benefit. So when the promise comes true, then we know that he did it.
Yeah.
And we say, wow, that's so awesome. And right down to as we're you know, everybody knows that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The Pharisees never asked him because they were chastising some of the people that were listening to him by saying, has any prophet ever come from Galilee? Mm-hmm. And the short answer is no. And they knew that Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. In fact, mm-hmm. why don't you find Micah chapter 5? You have that there on your... Steve's all electronic here and stuff, so he can probably find it real quick.
Micah
but,
chapter 5.
You know, the Pharisees knew, of course, Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem, and they could have asked him, I know you've been living in Galilee, but were you born there? And he would have said, well, actually, I was born in Bethlehem. He doesn't do that, but that would have shook them up a little bit.
That's true.
Because, you know, Bethlehem is David's city. He's the son of David. And I think it's kind of cool that David was a shepherd and Jesus is the good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is physically related to David and he's born in Bethlehem, which means house of bread.
Yeah.
And he says he's the living bread came down from heaven.
Yes.
He's the bread of life, and he's born in a place that means house of bread.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
you have that Bethlehem prophecy there.
From beginning of chapter or verse 1?
Yeah.
But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, least among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, the Lord will give them up until the time when she who is to give birth has born. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the children of Israel. He shall take his place as shepherd by the strength of the Lord, by the majestic name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell securely, for now his greatness shall reach to the ends of the earth. He shall be peace. If Assyria invades our country and treads upon our land, we shall rise against it 7 shepherds, 8 of royal standing. They shall tend the land of Assyria with the sword and the land of Nimrod with the drawn sword. Thus they will deliver us from Assyria when it invades our land, when it treads upon our borders. The remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many peoples, like dew coming from the Lord, like showers on the grass, which wait for no one, delay for no human being. In the remnant of Jacob shall be among the nations, and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the nations, in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among beasts of the forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep. When it passes through, it tramples, it tears, and no one can rescue. Your hand shall be lifted above your foes, and all your enemies shall be cut down. On that day, says the Lord, I will destroy the horses from your midst, and ruin your chariots. I will destroy the cities of your land and tear down all your fortresses. I will destroy the sorcery you practice, and there shall no longer be soothsayers among you. I will destroy your carved images or carved figures and the sacred stones from your midst, and you shall no longer worship the works of your hands. I will tear out the Asherahs from your midst and destroy your cities. I will wreak vengeance in anger and wrath upon the nations that have not listened.
Hmm. Yeah. So Messiah being born in the city of David, in Bethlehem, the house of bread. You know, it's interesting, too. He even talks about the remnant of Jacob. You know, mm-hmm. the Jews were scattered throughout the world, a remnant of Jacob. And the land was destroyed. Now they're back in the land because now we're in the second advent. Now we're waiting this time. It's not going to be a little baby coming from Bethlehem, but they're back in the land, which is another sign that he's going to come back sometime soon. And when we don't know for sure, of course, and we don't set dates, but even in the nativity narrative, it says when the time had come, there's an appointed time for everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason Jesus wasn't born 50 years earlier or 200 years later, right, or wasn't born 200 years later. There's a time, and that time and place he had to be born. And even used a civil leader to get the plan going.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day, and I want to wish everybody who's listening a Merry Christmas in a couple of days.
Yes, and we just pray that as we enter this Christmas season at the birth of Messiah, that if you don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that you would open your heart to him. pray to him and ask him for that wisdom and that grace to believe that he is the Son of God and there is forgiveness for your sins through his life, death, and resurrection. God bless everyone. Have a Merry Christmas and a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.